Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning Lidui Nishmas and Lezeichu Nishmas and Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. Miriam Neshama, have a continuous aliyah and the merit of the Torah learning that we share this evening together. So we are on page 230 of the second Sefer, for those who have the Sefer and are learning inside with us. So we spoke last time, I thought it was very powerful, about creating malachim with our thoughts. If you missed it, you could catch it on YU Torah. Highly recommend. It wasn't my ha'aris at all. We learned the piece of the Maharsha inside to the Gemara Masachas Ma'akos Yor Amal Beis, the Darach Sha'adar Motzalech Ba'molichin Oso, the angels that you create with the power of Machshava, thought, dibur, speech, maisa, actions, the angels that you create, whether for positive or negative, lead you on the path that you yourself have created. Extremely, extremely powerful. So I'm going back just a paragraph so we know where we're up to. Remember, this is a very advanced level. If you have not worked on achieving lower levels, so the author is telling us that you can't jump, you can't skip levels in Avodas Hashem. Excuse me, 2 plus 2 does not equal 5. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Salvatrix says that Yahadus is a very logical religion and things have to make sense. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2 does not equal 6. And you can't skip levels. If you do not work first on achieving lower levels in your Avodas Hashem and you attempt to break through to a higher level, he'll not succeed. It reminds me of, if you've ever read anything about Mount Everest, not that I'm sure any of us have any plans to go there anytime soon, but you have to acclimate. When you get to Mount Everest, you have to first acclimate to base camp. If you do not acclimate to base camp, trying to climb the summit and ascend the peak is literally deadly. Your body is not ready to reach the peak. You have to ascend to the air, the thin air, the environment of base camp before you come up. I remember when we were in Denver last year, pre-COVID, when we used to spend Shabbos in different communities and travel. We spent a very nice Shabbos in Denver. And my brother-in-law and sister-in-law told us that there are really people, when they come to Denver, they really feel the effects of the high altitude. So I did not feel it at all, but my husband had a headache and he really did feel it. You need time to acclimate to a higher level. And there's everything in Gashmius has a parallel in Ruchnius. So just like we need time to acclimate to higher levels in Gashmius, if you're climbing Everest, if you go to Denver, so too you need time to acclimate to levels in Ruchnius. And you can't expect, you know, sometimes we've spoken about in this year before, patience. I'm talking to Michal Horowitz. I am not by nature a patient person. Sometimes when I talk very quietly, mommy, the kids say, why are you talking like that? The reason I'm talking like that is to control myself. I'd rather be talking like that than screaming. But they know that they really don't like that voice because that voice is my voice of control. When really I feel frustrated or aggravated or upset about something, I'm not screaming. But they know the voice represents self-control. I'm not by nature a patient person. Sometimes we become impatient with ourselves. We want to be in a higher level than we are. We're really not ready for that higher level. We have to work in rational, reachable, for our own personal level. Where am I up to? I can't expect to ascend the peak of Mount Everest if I haven't acclimated to base camp. A person will physically die. So in Ruchnius, if we try and go too fast, too quickly, we need to make small kabbalos, small steps. Every teeny tiny step is appreciated by the Ribbono Shel Olam. As noted, there are rare individuals whose souls are from an extremely high place. They might be able to hold on. If not, however, this is a dangerous attempt to fly before one can crawl. One is therefore bound to fall and crash. So we've given some examples this evening about what it means to reach our level. Working every person on their own level to reach a higher, and then the next step, like Sulam Yaakov, the ladder of Yaakov, with ascending and descending angels. Okay, you must have a definite yearning to reach this level, but certainly you cannot start there. So everyone should want to be on a higher level. The whole point of Avodas Hashem is that our whole lives we should be working. The day I stop working is the day I stop striving, is the day I stop growing, is the day I become stagnant in my Avodas Hashem. We're constantly trying to reach a higher level, but I have to be realistic about how I'm going to get there. I don't know if you agree with me, isn't it true? For myself, it's hard sometimes. It's hard to have that patience. We want to be faster. We want to be more advanced. We want to be on a higher level. We want to be better. So instead of wanting to have the patience to get there, we want to be there, but it doesn't work like that. You must have a definite yearning to reach this level, but certainly you cannot start there. It is impossible to attain such a level, a high level, until you have traversed the entire path. Remember, we're in the section called unconditional love. So we're here, one of the highest levels of Avodas Hashem. And we talk about Ahavas Hashem, Ahavtas Hashem Elkecha, Bechol Vavcha, Bechol Nafshecha, Bechol Medecha, and you shall love Hashem your God, Bechol Nafshecha, Bechol Vavcha with all of your hearts, Rashi says with your two inclinations, and your heart should not be divided over God, Bechol Nafshecha with all your soul, Bechol Medecha, Rashi says with all of your funds, your money, and also Bechol Mido Mida Shemodedecha, with each and every measure that he gives you, whether it's a Mida Tova or a Mida Peranus. It is impossible to attain such a high level of Ahavas Hashem, unconditional love, unless you have traversed the entire path presented until now. And now the Mechaber gives four levels of what we must have crossed or traversed this path. What are they? One, simple faith that there is a creator. If you have the Sefer, I'm on top, page 231. Simple faith that there's a creator. Amunah, remember we've spoken about it many times, the analogy, you could buy a washing machine. We read it in Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein originally years ago. And you could plug it, don't plug it in. You buy a washing machine and it's fancy and it's high energy and you have all the right detergent and you load the clothing and you push all the buttons and nothing happens. You want to know why nothing is happening. Nothing is happening because you didn't plug it in. So you call the repair people and they're ready to take it away. And as they're about to take it away, they realize that it's not even plugged in. So do you even know that there's Hashem? So the first level is simple faith that there's a creator. Level number one. And once we know there's a creator, we have to try and feel his presence. Rav Salvechik says, I learned from my mother the most important thing in my life, to feel the gentle presence of the hand of the Almighty resting upon my frail shoulder. Without my mother's teachings, which were quite often transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up a dry and soulless being. My mother taught me the most important thing in my life, to feel the gentle pressure of the divine presence resting upon my frail shoulder. Without her teachings, which were often transmitted in silence, I would have grown up a dry and a soulless being. Well, the first thing we need is faith, and not only to believe that there's a God, but to try and attempt to feel his presence, feel him in your life. Believing in specific divine providence. So it's not enough to believe that there's a creator, but now you have to believe in Ashgacha Pratis. There are some people who believe that there is a God, but they do not believe in Ashgacha Pratis. This is two different levels. Ashgacha Pratis is specific divine providence. So in the Ani Mamins that we say, if you say them, the Shlosh Asrei Ikarim. The first one is, I have my sitter here. Ani Mami Be'amun Shleima Shabari Sprach Shmo Hu Bore Yumanhig L'chol Habruim. I believe with perfect faith that the Creator, best be He, is the Creator and the Manhig, the leader, guides all creatures. V'hu Levado Asava Osa V'yasa L'chol Masim. He alone made, makes, and will make everything. So the belief that there is a Creator. That's, I have to believe him. I have to believe that there's a God and feel his presence. But not only that, I'm looking for the next one I want to quote for you. That there is specific hashgacha pratis. An imami be'amuna shalema shaboris brachshmo yodea kol ma'ase b'nei adam. God knows everything. All of our work, all of our actions, everything. V'chol mechshavosam, he knows all of our thoughts. This is a quote from Tehillim. He fashions all their hearts together. He understands all of our work. So it's not enough to know that there's a God, but it's also to believe that he is in control and knows everything that's happening here and he's running the show. Number three, davening for each thing, tefillah. Simple faith that there's a creator, attempt to feel his presence. Believing in specific divine providence, Hashem is running everything in my life. He knows everything that happens to me. He knows everything about me. He is running the show. Three is tefillah, davening for everything. And sometimes we take so much in life for granted. We really do. And when something stops working the way it should, or stops going along its usual path, that's when we realize how much we need tefillah, that there is only one who is in charge, and that's God. And finally, four, conditional love. So these are the steps that precede unconditional love. And if you would try to get to the highest level of Ahavas Hashem without base camp, without believing in God, like Avraham Avinu believed in God, and Avraham Avinu strove to feel his presence and he reached that level, then you must believe in divine providence. Hashem is controlling and guiding and knowing everything that happens in my life. And then tefillah, Avram exhibited all of these levels. And finally, conditional love. And ultimately, Avraham Avinu exhibited unconditional love when he took his son I wanted to offer him as an akedah. Whatever you tell me, Hashem, unconditionally, I love you and I trust you, whether it seems to be for my good or it seems to be painful for me, whether I understand it or I don't understand it. I love you, Hashem, and this is the highest level. I'm going to quote from Rav Elimelech Biderman this past Parshas Lech Lecha. So I know we're a little bit ahead of Lech Lecha now. We're coming up to Vayishlach, but I've been keeping this with my Sefer for a few weeks now. So we just spoke about the idea that Amunah on Hashem, Yediyah Hashem, belief in Hashkacha Pratis, Tefillah, and Ahavas Hashem. Avram, I'm going to quote a couple of pages from Rav Elimelech Biderman of Mayrach. Avram looked at the world, and it appeared to be, says Rav Elimelech Biderman, utterly chaotic. You could say today that when we look at the world, it appears to be utterly chaotic. Not much has changed from the time of Avram Avinu. Like there was no one in charge. It was the same feeling when one would have when he passes a house on fire, and there's no one there to put out the fire. It seems like no one lives there. It must be an abandoned house. No one's attempting to put out the fire. When Avram was 48 years old, he witnessed the Dor HaFlaga. Hashem dispersed the nations. After Dor HaMabul, the Torah tells us about Dor HaFlaga, that they tried to build a tower to rebel against Hashem, and Hashem scattered them. B'sham hefitza me'al arts. He scattered them. He mixed up their languages. So the Dor HaFlaga is Hashem dispersed the nations. It was a global calamity which shook up the entire world. Before Avram was born, there was another destruction. There was the Mabul, the deluge. There was so much devastation and destruction. It appeared to Avram that Chas v'Shalom, no one is taking care of this world. So we don't have the Dor HaFlaga today. We don't have the Dor HaMabul today. But we have other chaotic elements going on in our world that a non-discerning person might not see Hashem. Hashem could be potentially hiding behind world events, and it's hard to recognize that there are someone running the show when the world is in such a state of chaos. Hashem peeked out at Avram and he told him, Ani Bal Habira. I am the Shushan Habira. I am Bal Habira. I am the master of the capital. I am the king of the world. I created the world and I'm taking care of it. Many people consider the present time, says Rav Elimelech Biderman, a time of immense chaos and confusion. I'm quoting from Rav Elimelech. Consider the health crisis, the economy, government instability, anti-Semitism, and the list goes on. That's a quote. Perhaps the world today can be compared to a house on fire, and there's no one to put it out. It looks like no one is in charge, Chalila. But don't forget, Hashem says, Ani Bal Habira. We all need, I need, maybe you too, the extra dose of chizuk in Amunah, this idea that Hashem, not only to find God, not only to plug in my washing machine, so to speak, but also to recognize, to feel his presence in my life, and also the idea of Hashkacha Pratis, that even though I don't see it, he is running everything, because he knows everything that happens here. Hashem is behind everything that is happening, says Rav Elimelech Biderman. There will come the time when we will find the reason and the logic in everything that's happening. The Rambam writes, Maimonides writes, Avram was 40 years old when he recognized the Creator. The Ravid writes, there's a Medrash that says he was 3 years old. So now he's going to talk about how old was Avram Avinu when he discovered the Creator. So according to the Rambam, Maimonides, he was 40 years old. According to the Medrash, he was 3 years old. And then another Medrash states he was 48 years old. So there's a difference of opinion as to when exactly Avram recognized the Creator. The Sar Shalom of Bel said the opinion that Avram recognized Hashem at the age of 48 needs explanation. It makes sense that he recognized Hashem when he was 3, because 3, says Rav Biderman, is the minimal age of comprehension. He was able to recognize Hashem. A 3-year-old already understands things. Remember, I told her over in a different class that my daughter, I think it was the summer and it was a beautiful sunset. You know, sometimes the clouds are streaked across the sky and the light of the setting sun, and you look up at the sky and it's just so beautiful. My daughter was sitting with my 3.5-year-old nephew. And she said, Yehuda, look at the sky. It's so beautiful. And he said to her, I promise, he said, Tamar, somebody made that. Somebody went up to the sky and made that. He was only 3. And what's amazing is if you read the biography of Avram Avinu, not in a book, Chas v'Shalom, in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim, it's exactly what the Rambam writes about Avram Avinu. He looked up at the planet, at the planets, the stars, the Galgalim, the world. And Avram said, is it possible that this whole world came into being by itself? There is a world without a manhig? It can't be possible. My nephew is 3 and a half and he said, Tamar, somebody made that. Somebody went up to the sky and made that. So a three-year-old has a degree of comprehension. So it makes sense that Avram came to this level of Amuna and Yediyah when he was three. The opinion that he was 40, according to the Rambam, says Rabbi Amin, also makes sense. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, Ben Arbaim Labina. When one turns 40, he has a measure of Bina, understanding, wisdom, intuition. So if he's three, he has a minimal level of understanding. If he's 40, when he recognizes God, he has a high degree of understanding. But what is the significance of recognizing Hashem at age 48? So the Medrash says 3, we've understood 3. The Medrash says 40, we understand based on Pirkei Avos 40. But why does the Medrash teach us he recognized God, perhaps, when he was 48, Avram? We can't say it was a coincidence, says Rabbi Biederman, without significance. Everything in the world happens for a purpose. Even more so, when we're discussing the Avos, we're discussing the beginning of Amunah. So what is the explanation that Avram recognized Hashem specifically at the seemingly random age of 48? What was special about 48? So Rabbi Biederman answers as follows. When Avram was 48, the infamous Tower of Babel was completed before the generation was dispersed. What was the purpose of that tower that they were building? To rebel against Hashem. They believed that they could build a tall tower, a Migdal al Shamayim, and they would combat, so to speak, God. The spirit of the time was denial of Hashem. It was a generation of immense kofrus. They were kofrim, immense heresy. It wasn't an easy time to have Amunah. If we are fortunate enough to be in an infrastructure surrounded by Ba'alei Amunah, we can fortify ourselves and be mechazek ourselves by the Amunah of the people around us. When we have Rabbanim to lead us, when we have friends, Baruch Hashem, of like mind who are striving and growing, so we give each other chizuk. We have guidance. But if we live in a time where there's such heresy, such chaos, such darkness, it's very hard to remain fortified and find Hashem. However, the rule is, when one acquires Amunah at a time when it's difficult to acquire Amunah, his Amunah is very deep, and it becomes ingrained in his mind, his machshava, and his soul, his neshama. This is the significance of the fact that Avram acquired Amunah, particularly at the age of 48. He was strong. And it teaches us he did not let himself be influenced by the spirit of the times. And he attained a very high level. So Avraham Avinu on his own came to the awareness of there is a God. My washing machine is plugged in. Feeling his presence in his life, which Avraham clearly did. Understanding that Hashem is in control of everything that happens. So Shkacha brought this. Davening. Just one example, the Sodom and Amora, Perikir Ches, Avraham davens for them. And finally, Ahavas Hashem. Unconditional love. You know, I'm going to take my son and shecht him, and I don't understand what you're saying. Okay. But what was so strong about his Amunah? He came to his Amunah in a time of complete chaos, in a world of kofus, where nothing made sense. And that's the highest level. And that's his rebutum in his explanation of 48. A three-year-old even could understand that the sky, a three-year-old, and it was Tafshin Pei, and Tafshin Pei could understand that sky didn't get there by itself. Out of the mouth of babes. It was incredible. I couldn't believe when she told me. Look up the biography of the Rambam, of Avraham Avinu, and you'll see that's how he describes Avraham. So a three-year-old has a degree of understanding. A 40-year-old has Bina. What's 48? 48 was the age when the world was in complete chaos in Avraham Avinu. They were building this tower, and they believed they would rebel against Hashem, and he maintained his Amunah. When Avraham was 48 years old, the spirit of the time was heresy. No one believed in Hashem. The chaos in the world roused Avraham. Where's the creator? Nevertheless, he succeeded in recognizing Hashem at this time. And that is our tafkid today. We have a big tafkid. A Jew always has an important tafkid. We have to strive mightily. We are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We have to strive mightily to recognize ani bal habira. There is a master. There is a captain of the ship. There is a king of the castle. There is a prime minister in the capital city. And that's the Ribono Shel Olam, even if it's not so clearly obvious. When one recognizes, says Rav Elimelech Biederman, Hashem in a time of immense confusion, I'm quoting, when one recognizes Hashem in a time of immense confusion and Hester Panim, so this is Rav Biederman, he says we're living in a time of immense confusion, and Hester upon him. the amunah that emerges when one can overcome that spirit of kofros and the yetzer hara that threatens us, that amunah is unique. Because if we could believe in Hashem in a time like that, our amunah is strong and clear. Furthermore, two more paragraphs of Rabbi Biderman, said Blinader, tzaddikim tell us before Mashiach comes, it will be extremely difficult to seek, to find, to notice Hashem, and to believe in Hashem. Because the spirit of kofros, of chaos and confusion is so strong. You pass by this house on fire, no one's putting out, so you figure it must be abandoned. No one lives there, no one even cares about the house. That's how we started this piece by Rabbi Biderman. If there's such a fire and the Baal Bais isn't calling the fire department or throwing buckets of water, nobody cares about the house. So if you see the world on fire and no one seems to be putting out the fire, the Baal HaBais, maybe he departed, chas v'shalom. Tzaddikim tells before Mashiach comes, it'll be extremely difficult to believe in Hashem. Rav Yisrael Ruzhin Zatzal compared this era, the Yemos HaMashiach, the Ikvas of the Mashiach, the footsteps of the Messiah, compared this era to someone trying to climb up a straight wall. Straight wall. Can you climb up a straight wall? You could climb up a steep staircase, but a straight wall? Unless you're a lizard and Hashem gave you sticky pads on your, hands. You can't climb up a straight wall. V'alimech of the Jinx described the hardship to have Amuna in the era before Mashiach in the following mashal. So V'alimech of the Jinx, listen to this. Imagine a gigantic rope, R-O-P-E, spread out in heaven, and it's shaking and turning rapidly. There's a rope that's descending from heaven, and that rope is shaking. It's being thrown around. It's turning rapidly. One has to hold on with all his might to that rope, or he will fall into the abyss. And this is the nimshal on the spiritual level. In terms of the challenge of Amunah today, that rope is shaking and swaying all over the place. Like what Biderman said, the politics, the medical crisis, the government, what did he say? Health crisis, economy, government instability, and anti-Semitism. Rav Elimelech of Zinks, Chusei Agen Eleinu, says that rope is shaking and turning rapidly, and we must hold on with all our might to risk falling into the abyss below. This describes, as Rabbi Biderman, last sentence, how tightly we have to hold on to our amunah before Mashiach comes. I just want to see if I want to tell you the footnote. Okay. Going back to the Sefer. So those were the four levels that Rabbi Biderman, the Mechaber, Rav Itamar Schwartz, describes that we must ascend before you can get to the highest level, and we just compare them to the father of Amuna, our first father, Avraham Avinu, simple faith, an attempt to feel his presence, belief in Ashkacha Pratis, divine providence, tefillah, and finally, Ahavas Hashem. There are four comments on the chat. 1 second, please. So, comments about dreams. It's interesting because we're coming up to the parashas that talk about dreams. And Yosef Atzadik was really a dreamer. I'm going to be talking about dreams, actually, 1 second. In 2 weeks, in my OU Torah Imecha Parasha Dvar Torah, will be about the koach of dreams. And Yosef says, Biladai, Elokim Yane Shlom Paro. But sometimes there is great koach in the power of our chalamos. Halavai, we should be zocher to azima yischok pinul shenenu ina. Where we'll be like dreamers, hayinu kachomim. When you have gone through this whole process, you have taken care of the basic levels. So you have to go through the process and you have to take care of the first levels. And to a certain extent, you have refined your physicality. It will then be possible for the soul to radiate without the body interfering so much. When you read about the gadolim, they eat less. Steinman hardly ate at all. We're not on that level. I'm not saying we should strive to be on that level, but a person comes to realize that physicality becomes secondary to spirituality. Of course, you must take care of your physicality. You have to daven that our body should work. However, if you have not worked to refine your physicality, then the gashmiest aspect of yourself will act as a magnet to pull down the ruchnius. The gashmiistic part of ourselves will pull down the ruchnius part of ourselves. It's a magnet. At times, the soul may succeed in elevating the body, but there will be times when it will not succeed. It's a difficult battle. There is a tension between the body and the soul. They want and they need two different things. The body needs to fill bodily needs, and the soul needs to fill spiritual needs. We have to try and make the body needs spiritual by brachos, by Yom Tov and Shabbos Seudas, by dressing appropriately, by making blessings before and after we eat. So we try and elevate the Gashmi so it has a great degree of Ruchnius in it. But you have to understand that there's a battle and a difficult battle between body and soul. It is therefore generously not recommended to place yourself in dangerous situations physically. So if a mashal for this would be if somebody's a recovering alcoholic, it's not recommended that they should go spend Thanksgiving evening in the local bar, or any evening for that matter. Why? Because they might be doing very strong, but when you put strong temptation, they might be doing very well. When you put strong temptation in front of your body, the battle becomes so difficult between soul and body that the body acts as a magnet to pull the soul down. And the Mechaber says, we daven every day, please save us from being tested. Al tiveni lo lidei nisayon, v'lo lidei vizayon. Don't bring us to tests. Don't bring us to bizayon, where things become a laughing stock, a mockery. How do you translate bizayon? Does anyone want to tell me how to translate bizayon? So we ask Hashem not to give us into a place where we feel that we are tested. That's not positive for us because the battle between body and soul is so great. You must progress responsibly. Let's drive responsibly, drink responsibly, progress in Avodas Hashem responsibly. And if you've reached this stage, and here we're still talking about Ahavas Hashem, you should try to enter into the realm of unconditional love. Unconditional love is higher than conditional love. Conditional love depends on what's done for me, so then I have love. Unconditional love is, no matter what happens in my life, I love the Ribbono Shel Olam. Totally, purely, without question. Makes no sense. Mamash makes no sense. I'm the only one in the whole world who recognize you. 3, 40, 48. We went through the different interpretations of that according to Rabbi Biderman. But I love you. When one has unconditional love, he has one thing in his life. He has no involvement with anything besides Hashem. When one has unconditional love, he has only Hashem in his life. He has no involvement with anything besides Hashem. So in preparing Shira, you know, the different Gedolim, really, they were all Gedolim in Torah, Amidos Tovos, Samaisim Tovim, but they have different fortes, if you will. It's like the Avos, it's a Venn diagram. Avram, when the Pirkei Avos tells us, Shimon HaTzadik Hayi Mishar Knesses HaGadol Hu Ayo Omer Shor Shel Dvarim HaOlam Omed Al Torah V'Avoda V'Gemilas Chasadim. The world is upheld through Torah V'Avoda V'Gemilas Chasadim. So it's a Venn diagram. Each of those pillars represents one of the Avos. Torah represents Yaakov Avinu, who we are journeying with now, the Ishtam Yoshev Olim. Avoda, Korbano / Tefillah, represents Yitzchak. And Gemilas Chasadim represents Avraham Avinu. So just like those three aspects hold up the world, so I'm not making this word up, I think Rabbi Shlomo Meir Lau Shlita brings it down in his Yachal Yisroel Pirkei Avos, that the three pillars that hold up the world correspond to the three patriarchs. But it doesn't mean just because Avraham Avinu is a pillar of Chesed that he didn't have the aspect of Avoda and Torah. Doesn't mean because Yitzchak was Avoda, he didn't have Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. So it's a Venn diagram, they all overlap, but each one has a specific koach. It's like us. We try and do the right thing in all realms of Avodas Hashem, but every person has a specific koach in which he excels. So when I was preparing, I'm going to quote from a biography that I don't often quote from, that I read and enjoy very much, but it reminded me really, when you have unconditional love, you have only Hashem in your life. There's no involvement with anything besides Hashem. So Rav Elyashiv Zatzal, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. What page do I want to be at? Right here. He sat and he learned Torah. The Vilna Gaon sat and learned Torah. There are those Gedolim who go out more to the people, who are involved more with the people. And then there are those who sit and they have one thing in their life, the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm going to quote from this biography. In the days before Rav Elyashiv became well known, a handful of residents of Mea Shearim were very proud of the hidden genius who lived among them. When people visited and toured the neighborhood, these residents would invite them to listen to a special chavrusa partnership, learning in the locked Ohel Sara Beis Medrash. So Rav Elyashiv would sit in the locked Ohel Sara Beis Medrash, and what would he do? Learn. People would come and listen to the riveting back and forth. There was one person asking questions, another person answering. One person explained the Tosfos, the other read the Rambam, one read the Rishonim. When the first person finished, he would say, "Listen well, now again." And then he would go on to repeat his words with greater emphasis. Sometimes he would say, "Pay attention to the depth of these fine points." Occasionally, when his chavrusa asked a question, he would chide his chavrusa, "What a mistaken question." After the listeners overheard the chavrusas learning for some time, the locals would open the locked door and show the visitors there was one person in the Beis Medrash, Rav Elyashiv, who was totally involved in Torah. To be totally involved in Torah is to have one thing in your life, and that's Hashem. Something just happened. Whatever, with carpool. Carpools could sometimes be difficult and problematic. Baruch Hashem, we have carpool. Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to drive carpool. Something very unfair happened. I was upset. I thought to myself, what would Belsky say? It says in the biography, when people insulted him, he it was as if they were not as if they weren't talking to him. He did not care at all. And the person has only Hashem on a different madriga. Rav Elyashiv only had the Ribbono Shel'olam. In a similar vein, Rav Avram Tzvi Yisraelson related the following in the name of his uncle, Rav Israel Arbach. Rav Israel Arbach was the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal and the son-in-law of Rav Elyashiv. Rav Elyashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman were Masharech. Their children were married. This is a story that happened. It was told over in the name of his uncle, Rav Israel Arbach. When the shidduch with Rav Elyashiv's daughter Leah was suggested, it was arranged that Rav Israel Arbach would come to Ohel Shara to meet with Rav Elyashiv at 5 p.m. one day and speak to him in learning. At 7 p.m., when Rav Elyashiv finished his learning session, he was very surprised that the young man had not arrived. When he left Ohel Shara, he saw an unfamiliar young man waiting outside. And he said, "Are you the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman, who was supposed to come meet him to be Masharech with his child?" "Yes," said the young man. "Why didn't you come at 5 o'clock?" said Rav Elyashiv. "I was here at 5, Rav Israel apologized, "but I was told the Rav would be here by himself. I heard through the door there was someone else inside, so I wasn't comfortable going in. I waited until that other person would leave." The other person, unbeknownst to the young man, was none other than Rav Elyashiv himself, who was talking aloud and learning as he learned, who asked questions and answers as though a chavrusa was sitting beside him. Of course, the chavrusa is the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rav Chava Gaon says, when you daven, you're talking to Hashem. And when you learn Torah, Hashem's talking to you. So the highest level is unconditional love. When a person has one thing in his life, that's Hashem. He has no involvement, he has no interest in anything besides Hashem. There were great tzaddikim. Oh, by the way, thank you, Avigail. Bizayon is disgrace. Okay, thank you very much. You shouldn't bring us to Nisayon to be tested, and you shouldn't bring us to Bizayon, disgrace. There were great tzaddikim who attested to the fact that they loved every Jew as much as their own children. One such tzaddik that comes to mind is the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So again, every tzaddik, every gadol, every leader has a different koch. It doesn't mean this one doesn't have Torah and this one doesn't have avoda. It just means that they excel, if you will, in a specific, they're well known for that specific realm or area. There were great tzaddikim who attested to the fact that they loved every Jew as much as their own children. So says Rav Kook. That's all, undoubtedly. They once said, "How could you love everybody?" He loved the people who hung up the, what are they called, the pashkivilim? Is that what they're called? You know, the posters on the wall in Jerusalem. They printed slanderous posters about him. They threw garbage on him. He loved everyone. He said, "I would rather be accused of ahavas chinam than sinas chinam. I'd rather they accuse me in the end of days of having too much love than having overflowing baseless hatred." And the Lubavitcher Rebbe was someone else who loved every not only every Jew, every person. How could this be? How could you have a tzaddik who loves every person, every Jew as much as their own child? How could this be? Isn't the love of a child based on a physical relationship? Therefore, anything physical is temporary. So obviously, you're probably saying, just like I am, no, the love of the child is not only a physical relationship. Nafsho kshur benafsho. Yehuda said this to Yosef. How can you keep the child here? Their souls, Yaakov and Yosef, are tied together. It's much more and a physical relationship. When a person leaves the constraints of this body, a different kind of love appears. Not only is its nature different, but the causes are different. So the nature of the love is different when we are beyond the physical, and the cause of the love is different. A relative is attached because of the physical world, but love from soul to soul is due to unity between the souls. So I'm not sure. Again, this is an adaptation from a Hebrew sefer. I don't think a love of a parent to a child is a physical love that disappears. I think it is a love from soul to soul because of unity between the souls. Like, now he goes back to ends page 231 with something that we have already discussed in depth. Hashem, the Torah, and Yisrael are one unique. Tisha Brichu, Orais, and Yisrael Chadhu. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. If you have reached true Ahavas Hashem, you must also have true Ahavas Yisrael. So how could Tzaddikim truly love every Jew? Because if you love God so purely, so faithfully, on such a high level, then you love all of Hashem's children. Because Kedisha Brichu Yisrael Orais Achadu, you love what is one with you. So if you feel one with Hashem, so to speak, and you feel one with Torah, you can't forget about Ahavas Yisrael. You feel one with every Jew. Just as the Creator is one, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so the Jewish people are one. So the Torah is one. You must feel one with the Jewish people. If one thinks he feels, listen to this line. It's fantastic. If one thinks he feels Ahavas Hashem without true Ahavas Yisrael, he had better realize that he is delusional. If one thinks he feels Ahavas Hashem without true Ahavas Yisrael, he had better realize that he is delusional. If a person professes and claims that they absolutely love God without loving other Jews, you are sorely lacking in your Ahavas Hashem. It can't be. There's something deficient. There's something completely wrong. You can't love your father and despise his children and reject his children. If a person feels Ahavas Hashem without Ahavas Yisrael, he had better realize he is delusional. I heard a few weeks ago Rabbi Shai Schechter say something interesting, a Dvar Torah, a Mahalach, if you will, that Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, when Rabbi Schechter said he was in the Smicha program in YU, so they had different speakers who would come to speak to them once a week in the evening, I think. So Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, Zatzal, came a number of times to speak to the young men in the Smicha program. So this is what he told these budding rabbis, soon to be Rabbanim, who are going to go and lead their kehilos. Okay? We say this, Musaf Shachris, Musaf Shabbos and Yom Tov, right before Aleinu. Tani Devei Eliyahu. It is taught in the Academy of Eliyahu. It's from Maseches Megillah Chav Ches Amud Beis. I'm quoting from my Siddur. Kol Hashana Halachos B'chol Yam. Muftach Lam. So the words are familiar to you. Kol Hashana Halachos B'chol Yam. He who studies the law, Halacha, Torah law, every day. Muftach Lo. It is certain to him. Shehu Ben Olam Haba. He is a Ben Olam Haba. If you study Halacha, the Halacha of Torah every day, you're a Ben Olam Haba. Shenemar. What's the proof? The Pasuk says, Pasuk from Chabakuk. Halichos olam lo, the ways of the world are his. Al tikre halichos ela halachos. Halichos olam lo, the ways of the world are his, can be explained, say Chazal, halachos olam lo. If you study halacha every day, it will bring you to your world. Olam lo will bring you to your world. Kol hashona halachos b'chaya muftecho shehu ben olam haba. I read you the wrong thing. It's okay. That's not what the var was on. I just looked at my notes. I realize as I'm talking. But it's still good to know. Next. The Siddur continues. Maseches Brachos, Samech Dad. I'm continuing in the Siddur. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Talmidei Chachamim increase peace in the world. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Pasuk from Yishayahu. V'chol banayich limudei Hashem. V'rav shalom banayich. All your children will be students of Hashem. Your children will have peace. And I'm sure you know the end. Al tikri banayich ela bonayich. Don't read it your sons, banayich. Read it your builders, your children. Let's read that again. Since I told you the wrong, not the wrong teaching, but for the purposes of tonight, you're not what I meant to say. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chochamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Talmidei Chochamim increase peace in the world. What's the proof? The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'chol banayich limudei Hashem. And all of your sons will be students of Hashem. The Rav Shalom Banayich, abundant peace to your children. Al tukri Banayich ala Bonayich. Don't read it as sons, read it as builders. So a person should view the Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmidim that you will have, as builders. Don't read it sons, read it builders. So Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks told those boys, young men who were in the Smicha program at Yeshiva University, that the key to being a successful rabbi, and one of the most important ingredients, is not to see your kehila as your children, but as your co-builders. You are striving to build a community. You're striving to build a kehila. You're striving to build a base knesses. You're striving to build a shir. Have them as your partners. When you make people your partner, al tukri banayech ela bonayech. Don't read it as your children. Read it as your builders. If you give people the feeling that they are instrumental in building something with you, then that leads to shalom in the world. And they feel validated and important, and they want to contribute. I want to contribute to the building of this cause. So Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks told them, don't see them as your children. A parent often tells a child what to do. The key to success is to partner with them. Have them partner with you. Let's build together. It's a beautiful, beautiful lesson in chinuch and in partnership and in interaction with our fellow Jews. That if we see ourselves as working together to build an edifice, that edifice will be so wonderful. And then we will all come to Ahavas Hashem through Ahavas Yisrael, through recognizing we're all working together. We should see ourselves as we're ultimately all working together to build Bayis Shlishi. Al tukri banayich ala bonayich, talmidei chachamim marbim shalom ba'omar, ba'olam. Don't read it as your sons, where you go around bossing people around, telling them what to do. Read it as your builders. Have people building with you to realize the ultimate dream. And of course, our ultimate dream is that we're building Bayis Shlishi. So I'm now going to quote from the book Rebbe by Joseph Telushkin. If you didn't read it, I highly recommend it. The Babbage Rebbe was a gadol, a leader who went out to the people. He is not someone who sat in the Ohel Sar Beis Medrash and learned between himself and himself with only he and God in the room. His whole mahalach was to get people to build with you. And it's interesting because it was a very famous story. I'm sure you saw it told over after Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks was nifter, about how it's the Lubavitcher Rebbe who put the young, I don't know if he was a rabbi then, certainly not a lord then, Jonathan Sacks, on the path to leadership. Okay, there were 10 campaigns through which Chabad, instituted by the Rebbe, through which Chabad exerted its influence through the world. I'm just going to tell you the first one is tefillin. Okay? 10 campaigns initiated by the Rebbe through which Chabad exerted influence around the world. They were 1, tefillin. 2, neshek. Neshek is the Shabbat candle campaign. It's a campaign that all Jewish women should light Shabbos candles. Again, get people to be builders with you. Don't tell people what to do. Have them build along with you. And I think this story is such a beautiful illustration of that. On one occasion, the Rebbe spoke of an incident that had been brought to his attention that illustrated how this one practice, the lighting of a candle by a child in a family, had transformed an entire family. There was a family in Israel, the Rebbe related, whose 5 or 6-year-old daughter heard one Friday morning about the importance of Shabbat candles. And even a young girl can light Shabbat candles. When she came home that day, she told her mother what she heard. Her desire was to light Shabbat candles. The mother, who was Jewishly unknowledgeable, said she does not know of such a custom. She will not allow her daughter to introduce new acts into their home. The young girl became upset and eventually a bit hysterical. She kept beseeching her mother, let her light one candle. The mother relented. With great excitement, the girl set a candlestick on the dinner table and lit a candle for Shabbat by herself. Some other girls told her a Shabbat candle should not be touched. She went around warning her whole family, don't move the candles. Child was 5 or 6 years old. When the mother and father realized candle lighting was not disruptive, they allowed it to continue the following week without a fuss. After a few weeks of Friday night candlelighting, one of the parents concluded it was not appropriate to have the TV turned on while the candles were burning. Soon the phone was not answered while the candle was burning. A short time later, the mother started to feel awkward about the contrasting patterns of behavior in her house. A neighbor might walk in and see a Shabbat candle being lit by her young child while she, the mother, was dressed in weekday clothing. It would seem out of place. So one Friday evening, the mother decided to light Shabbat candles along with her daughter. After she did so for a few weeks and reciting the blessing, affirming the holy day, she found she could not bring herself to turn on the oven and to heat up supper anymore. This soon had effect on how the family acted on Saturday as well. Concluded the Rebbe, thanks to one girl's desire to light Shabbat candles, the entire family started keeping Shabbat. So we have to see that if we love Hashem, we have to love all Jews. And if we love all Jews, we see them as builders. We're partners. We're working on the same edifice. Unlike the Dor HaFlaga, while they were working on the same edifice, but God scattered them, we have to work together to build that one beautiful edifice, which is Binyan Bayis Shlishi. How can we do this? Only if Kedisha Brichu, Yisrael, and Oraisa, if we live by the value Chadhu. God is one, Torah is one, and Knesset Yisrael is one. I thank you so much for learning with me this evening. May the neshama of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Alal Shah, merit a continuous aliyah. I wish you besoros tovos and a wonderful Shabbos. Kol tov, everyone. Thank you.